Welcome to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity, a podcast about identity, healing, and honest conversations for those who feel deeply, think differently, and live uniquely. My name is Matt, and I'm glad you're here. As part of my final year of university, one of the modules that we have to do is on identifying barriers to organizational effectiveness within the ambulance service and developing a strategy to overcome, utilizing management and leadership theories to support that strategy. Now, as someone who lives in a world that is systemically built for neurotypical people, whilst living with a neurodivergent brain, I've encountered many barriers within management structures, not just within the ambulance service, but across my entire professional career. And this presentation sort of lends me an opportunity to combine both my university academic work, my expansion and career progression, and this podcast all into one. So today's episode is kind of also forming part of my degree, with an in-depth look at what will become probably the presentation I present in my university assessment, or a version of it. So today we're going to be rethinking leadership in the ambulance service and why neurodiversity demands a systemic change. So in the high-pressure world of the UK ambulance service, leadership has traditionally been defined by structure, decisiveness, and control. But the workforce is evolving, so the systems that guide it must evolve alongside. Increasingly, ambulance services are waking up to a reality that neurodivergent individuals have known all along. Our systems were never truly designed for everyone. Neurodiversity, encompassing autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and other cognitive differences, are not an outlier within the ambulance service. It is a significant vital thread within the fabric of emergency care. Yet for too long it has remained unseen, unspoken, and unsupported by the rigid leadership models and the unexamined cultural norms that dominate the sector. National prevalence estimates that around 1 in 7 people in the UK are neurodivergent. But within the ambulance services, internal surveys indicate that the numbers might be even higher. While only a few percent of staff formally declare neurodivergent conditions to HR systems, anonymous staff surveys often tell a different story, revealing that up to 30% of ambulance personnel may identify with some form of neurodivergence. But why is there this discrepancy? It's quite simple: stigma, or the fear of it. Many paramedics, call handlers, control staff remain hesitant to disclose neurodivergent traits due to fear of being labelled as difficult or perceived as less capable. Ambulance culture, historically steeped in a hierarchical and macho norm, has left little room for vulnerability, let alone neurodivergent expression. But the tide is turning, charters are being signed, including networks are forming, and slowly the conversation is changing. Still, awareness alone is not enough. It's time to rethink how we lead. Organisational culture is more than what's written in policy documents. It's the subtle, often unspoken norms that govern belonging. For neurodivergent staff, it's not always overt discrimination that creates barriers. Often it's the quiet assumptions, the invisible expectations, and the passive compliance with how things have always been done. As both Cook and Rousseau identified, organizational cultures can be constructive, passive, or aggressive. Only the first creates space for diverse minds to thrive. Yet many ambulance teams still operate under coercive or pace-setting leadership, where deviation from the norm is viewed as defiancy rather than difference. Narratives like "just follow what's always been done" can quietly dismantle psychological safety, and in doing so, stifle innovation, morale, and retention. In time-critical scenarios, authoritative leadership has its place. But to build a truly inclusive, sustainable workforce, ambulance services must move beyond reactive management towards neurodiversity-informed leadership. This means embracing models that are adaptive, emotionally intelligent, and grounded in empathy. Transformational leadership, as outlined by Bass, champions individualized consideration, inspiration, and intellectual stimulation, all of which are critical when working with neurodiverse teams. Coaching and affiliative leadership styles, which prioritize emotional connection and personal development, are especially powerful in unlocking the potential of neurodivergent staff. Goleman's model of emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skill is not just a helpful guide, it's essential. Neurodivergent staff may process emotions differently or communicate in non-traditional ways. Without emotionally intelligent leaders, these differences can be misread as dysfunction, reinforcing harmful stereotypes and eroding that workplace belonging. Effective teamwork has long been correlated with better clinical outcomes and lower staff stress, yet neurodivergent staff often remain on the periphery of informal team dynamics, especially in environments where communication is fast, fluid, and socially nuanced. Studies from the Healthcare Team Effectiveness Project show that participatory processes, clear objectives, and structured debriefs significantly enhance inclusion. When leadership facilitates psychological safety, where it is okay to say, "I don't understand," or "I need something different," team cohesion improves for everyone, not just the neurodivergent. At this midpoint, I hope it's become very clear that I put an awful lot of time and research into some of these posts. If you or someone you may know may benefit from the insights shared within this episode, please like, subscribe, share it around. So now that we've established the barrier, how do we go about changing it? Well, the solution is much like the problem, nuanced and complicated. So let's start with mentorship and learning. So mentorship, when done well, can be life-changing, but too often, neurodivergent learners are misunderstood, their needs misinterpreted, their challenges pathologized. Many prefer structured, self-paced learning environments that align with Honey and Mumford's reflector and theorist styles. Yet mentorship frameworks rarely adapt to these needs, leading to early disengagement or internalized failure. Worse still, poor mentorship or mentor fatigue can damage confidence before clinical practice even begins. Structured developmental relationships built on clarity and understanding are not only beneficial, they are essential. The cost of neglecting this is increased burnout, staff attrition, and lost talent. So embedding neuro-inclusive practice isn't a tick box exercise. It requires a systemic transformation. Potter's 8-step change model provides a practical roadmap, creates urgency, build leadership coalitions, empower action, and embed new norms through sustained reinforcement. To be truly effective, strategies must operate across all organizational levels. Culturally, through audits using Shine's or Cook and Rousseau's frameworks to identify exclusionary norms. Managerially, by equipping leaders with emotional intelligence and inclusive coaching capabilities. Operationally, by designing team structures, mentorship pathways, and feedback loops that serve a cognitively diverse workforce. It's not about lowering standards, it's about raising support. A system that flexes around people's cognitive profiles, rather than forcing everyone into the same mold, will not only be fairer, it will be far more effective. Now, much of the conversation around neurodiversity in the workplace still fixates on the barriers. But let's have a look at some of the strengths. Paramedics with ADHD may bring unparalleled energy, creativity, and hyperfocus under pressure, thriving in complex incidents. Autistic staff may offer calm, logical, procedural precision, and analytical depth. Dyslexic colleagues often demonstrate visual spatial thinking and inventive problem solving. When given the right conditions, neurodivergent professionals don't just keep pace, they innovate, uplift, and transform teams. The ambulance service already depends on these strengths. The challenge is recognizing, supporting, and celebrating them openly. As a neurodivergent clinician, preparing to transition into independent practice, this conversation feels deeply personal. I've seen the quiet isolation that comes when the team dynamics are not built for minds like mine. I've experienced the sting of being labelled as cold or aloof or problematic in informal and formal spaces. Sometimes I'm carrying an immense cognitive load and simply just needed structure to participate. On the other side of this, where I currently work, I'm very fortunate that the management team around me seem to understand my needs and are very accommodating. My line manager, for example, knows when I'm arguing for fun and when I'm arguing because there's a genuine problem, often letting me get my rant out and then just wishing me a happy day or telling me to go out and enjoy my shift. These moments of feeling like you've been isolated can be quite painful, and they fueled my commitment to creating a different kind of workplace. Through my blog and this podcast, I aim to merge lived experience with evidence-based strategies to reshape the way healthcare teams work, lead, and relate. It's not just theoretical, it's a lived necessity. If we truly want our ambulance services to thrive, to retain talent, reduce burnout, and deliver excellence, we must build systems that reflect the people within them. To do that, we must discard the outdated hierarchies, embrace inclusive leadership, and create environments where every clinician, regardless of their neurotype, can bring their full self to work. Because the ambulance service of the future needs to be faster, smarter, and more efficient, but it needs to be more human. Thanks for listening to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. If this episode resonated, follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from, share it with someone you care about, or leave a review. It all helps more than you know. Until next time, be kind to yourselves.